Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Ladies Night Podcast. Oh,
no, I'm just kidding.
Whatever, y'all petty.
Welcome to the Ladies Night Podcast. That's our shout out to Cardi B. Hopefully you caught that episode and interview on Jimmy Fallon.
We're going to have to add her so she right? can see this.
That's okay. But this is season 2, episode 26. And we are talking about lessons for my daughter or from my mother or a combination of the two. So I think it's going to be a really good discussion. I think all the discussions are going to be really good because I say that every week, but they are really good. So keep listening and don't play with me. As always, you can follow us.
Okay.
But as always, you can follow us on Instagram at Ladies Night Podcast. It's okay, Nikki. You got to practice rolling that tongue.
I have the official.
You just gotta practice rolling that tail, girl. It's like the Spanish R.
Yes. No hawk. Right. It's not like Remember, it's like a cold pigeon, as she said, in New York City.
Just put your tongue on the bridge of your mouth and just blow.
No, it's not working.
So now that we've wasted a minute of your time making sounds,
Cardi B, we love you, girl.
Right? You can follow us on Instagram at Ladies Night Podcast and like us on Facebook at Ladies Night Podcast. Follow our Twitter at Ladies Night PC. Find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Podomatic. Leave us comments, reviews.
Subscribe, share, like,
email,
comment,
tell your mama,
email,
babies, daddies, cousins, brother, Uncle Tim,
baby mama, don't forget the baby mama,
everybody,
it's the baby mom show, I'm just kidding,
okay, tell everybody to follow us and share our episodes because we got some good shit, some good stuff, email us at Ladies Night for Moms,
we definitely gonna make you laugh,
definitely,
ladiesnightformoms@gmail.com, send us those emails and let the ladies fix your life. Tell you what to do in your relationship with your kids. If you want us to throw something to our listeners and they can throw some suggestions back, throw it back. Throw
each
it
one
back.
Teach one. We appreciate the feedback.
Yeah, definitely do that. So, again, season 2, episode 26. Lex, I know you got some tea for us. But before we jump straight into that.
Oh, wait, I was ready.
I know you're ready.
I was ready. Oh, okay.
I just want to talk about Beyonce and this Coachella.
Yes! I'm sorry. I just got
She did that. Hopefully you've seen the videos. If not, go and find it.
She
go watch
did
the
that.
Clips.
She killed that. My edges are snatched.
Oh, man. Yes. When I was watching it, it just made me want to get up, put on my heels, do my makeup, like, boy, bye.
You know what? Listen, I'm for real going to start my diet this week because that's how I feel after watching
it. I got to YouTube this choreography.
It was like, this is too much.
It made me want to go get some money. It was everything. It just gave me my whole life.
You know, as much as I loved my experience as an undergrad at Indiana University Bloomington, Hoosiers forever. Damn near made me mad. You know what? Nobody's asking you, Janika. It damn near made me mad. Like, dang, why couldn't I have gone to an HBCU?
Right.
Because that band, it took me back to my dance team days, y'all. I was like, yes.
Right.
I'm here for it. I'm here.
And when
I'm
I was watching it, I was like, I got to get Lex to teach this to me or something. Right. Somebody got
to
help me.
We've been begging Lex to make
somebody
us some 8 counts.
To help us.
And she has not delivered.
And gave us a two-step or nothing, Jesus.
Nothing. And she's the dancer. So hopefully this call-out will bring something about. I want to read one of my Facebook friends' Facebook status that sums up the performance. For those of you that have not seen it yet, please go watch it.
I'm mad y'all just try to embarrass me.
No embarrassment. We just said we want to shake our asses.
And
we
shook
want
a
you
hip,
to, we want
bang
you
head,
to
bounce.
Come up with the 8 counts. But anyway,
oh
so
shall,
the status
says,
so Bay did a show that incorporated the look and sound of an HBCU band.
Sure did.
Threw in a Black Greek probate-esque scene.
Yeah, sure did.
Added a little second line type of flavor. Did a Destiny's Child reunion.
Sure did.
Brought out Jay for a minute.
Sure did.
Served Nefertiti realness.
Sure did.
Danced her ass off.
Sure did.
Thanked Coachella for choosing her as the first Black woman to headline their festival by
Amen.
Performing.
Hallelujah.
By performing
Hallelujah.
Lift Every Voice and Sing.
Ah,
which is
yeah,
the
yeah,
Black
yeah,
National
yeah, yeah.
Anthem. Also did the new Black National Anthem, which is Swag Surf, which is not in the status. But
it's okay. We'll take that too. We're taking that
Me too.
Everybody we're going
to
take that.
Everybody
it's
loves
okay.
it, so I'm giving it to okay. them. And then at all after 30, after, at 36, after giving birth to twins less than a year ago, my girl is bad.
Snatched up for the gods.
Shit, I threw my phone. Y'all didn't see it because it didn't fly.
I just have no words. I'm so amazed at the performance.
It was
just
so powerful.
The artistry. It was.
The mixing of the music and everything that she put into it. I love Beyonce shows because she just
she's
pulls from so many different areas.
She does.
And puts all those different songs
And first off, Let's talk about these outfits.
Back that ass up.
Bish came out in the Nefertiti Cleopatra. Just came out like, Bish, I'm here. And I've come. I came to slay, Bish. That's what she did. She
I came out to play with you hoes.
Did not come to play with you hoes. Can we talk Let's talk about that first.
How she performed
off.
In a sweatshirt and was only glistening. I would have been on my deathbed.
How do you get
in boots?
First of all, I love the rave boots. Because if you ever been to a music festival, you see like the little boots with the girls wearing bikinis and the boots. You I'm like, way to incorporate the music festival culture and the black culture all in one. Like,
just everything. She does that just my shit, whole life. Man.
I just want to know how I can get a perfect apple bottom. Because
she wears 5 pairs of tights. I do know that.
So she wears 5 pairs of tights?
Yes. She says she's doing a lot of jiggling and moving and shaking on stage, and she needs to be solid. So she wears 5 pairs of tights. Adele wore 6 Spanx to the Grammys one time.
Really?
They be doing the most.
Show business is not well, for all I know play. Is it's not for play.
I couldn't help but just every time she turned around, I was just like, damn,
her booty was like a just, Barbie doll.
It's like, it was perfect. I just want my ass to sit up. Like, I got ass, y'all, but it don't sit like that. Like, I need it to.
It was an apple bottom.
I need it to shape like that, it's okay?
It was a pink lady.
Yeah, it was, basically. But, like, I'm going to Miami in August. I need my ass to look like that come August in some shorts. Like, that's my goal.
Yes. So, I just wanted to make that our first topic because I love Beyonce. I must pay homage. Everybody that says that she's overrated or she's not all that or she's just a skinny light-skinned chick, bow down, bitches.
Put some respect on her name.
Please do.
That's exactly how I felt after watching it because I ain't never been one to gas Beyonce.
I love Beyonce.
But after that, I was like, I have to give her some respect for
that.
And
then, this is a little off subject.
And I've seen 45 minutes.
I don't see how 90s babies call her, like, underrated when we saw her go from Destiny's Child, young Beyonce, and transition into, like, this wonderful artist. How do y'all still sleep on her? How do people sleep on her?
You know,
how the fuck? Who the fuck? Why the fuck? Like, it's for real, get
just
me
mad.
Out.
People be mad.
For no reason. Like, I don't believe in standing for her. Like, she is not my God, and she done told y'all she's not y'all God. So, y'all for y'all out here still toeing the line, y'all need to check yourself, because she's not Jesus. However, I'm going to give props where props is due, because the bitch is bad. The bitch always delivers. She slays. She takes my edges. I'm just like, whatever you like. What do you want? What more do you need from me, Beyonce? There's nothing she can't do, okay? Like, there's nothing she can't do.
I could have just watched her dance. She didn't even have to sing a note.
And then for her to sing on top of that,
she barely broke a sweat.
She was glistening.
And that's the best thing about it. Like, she makes it look easy, but it's not easy at all.
She's a vegan, though, isn't she?
That's what I said. She made me want to eat healthy, because she is a vegan. It made me want to leave all the mess behind.
She was taking pictures of her meals and putting them on Instagram when she first started doing this.
Damn, I love meat, but I might start contemplating some shit.
I'm going to go on YouTube, this choreography.
But I need my protein.
Peanut butter.
Protein without I don't like peanut butter. I was about to say nuts.
Shakes.
Girl, figure it out. Get on Google.
Yeah. We'll work it out.
It's some healthy stuff. Beans, too, I think. But anyway, what else you got for T-Lex? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you're fine. No, because honestly, we were on the same page here. Because Beyonce Coachella was the first thing on the list. Okay. Yeah. So, we're going to check that off. okay. So.
I cannot stand. I'm so jealous.
So, going on, since we're talking about black women just out here doing the damn thing. First, let's pay homage to this college graduate. It's a bit of a sad story, but a happy story in itself. I love the overcoming type of stories. Oh.
Hey, Emily.
See your right face.
Hey, Emily. Okay. Malika Mahar decided to come and record. Say hi real quick. Okay. So this young college graduate lost her parents, both her mom and her dad, before her college graduation. Her dad had passed away just a few weeks before her high school graduation due to sickle cell anemia. And then 2 years later, her mother passed having stage 4 cervical cancer. She had just got her associate's degree at the time. So she is graduating in May with her bachelor's degree. And she will be honoring her parents at the ceremony. And I just want to highlight, because I personally can relate to the story with my mom, because My mom had her stroke and everything in my last year and a half of college, and I sure thought I was not gonna make it. But God is good
all the time,
and God is good. Amen. He come through. So I just wanted to highlight to let people know, like, it doesn't matter how long it takes, it doesn't matter what happens. Your dreams are always possible. Don't give up. Absolutely. And I just want to highlight her. Shout out to you, girl. We rooting for you, girl.
Do you know her name?
I did not have a chance to write her name down.
That's okay.
But her story has
positive vibes.
Yes, her story has went viral. So I just want to shout out to her. I'm mad I didn't write down her name, but she was. Girl, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Right. Shout out to her. That's tough. Yeah. College is already tough. I mean, it's not hard, but it can be hard. But especially when you're going through, like, real life shit and trying to manage class, when most of your friends are just managing class.
And usually your last years are the hardest ones. Because that's how I felt. I was just like, you know what? I'm about to say F it and move back to Richmond, and I will work at Kroger for the rest of my life. Girl. I don't need this degree. That I was at that point where I was like, you know, I don't need this. I don't need this in my life. So I get it, girl. I mean, I don't know what it's like to lose a parent, because goodness to God, both my parents are still here. But still, like, that shit is hard to deal with. It is. So props to her. Shout out to her. And then moving forward, y'all remember girls? Y'all still like Girl Scout cookies? Y'all was on the Girl Scouts and y'all was in
I was a Girl Scout.
I was a Girl Scout too.
The cookies have changed, but I still get Thin Mints.
I still love my Thin Mints. Well, shout out to the first Girl Scout troop, and that they sold 17,000 boxes. Ooh. But they are the first Girl Scout troop that are actually comprised of girls who are homeless that have sold 17,000 boxes.
Do they get to keep any of that money for, like?
I would hope so.
Does it go to, like, their shelter or something? Like, damn.
I would hope so. But I think that's just really cool that despite their circumstances, they're still willing to do service and give back to the community.
That is really good.
And still have a smile on their face. Like, because, you know, Girl Scouts, these are young girls, like, probably, like, I think I was like 10, eight, 9, 10.
I hope they gave them some money, because if I'm homeless, the last thing I want to do is sell some cookies for a corporation.
Right.
That's what I'm like. That's what my mouth is turned up.
17,000 boxes at that.
Nah. Right.
Yeah. So the fact that they was out to do that, shout out to y'all. Black Girl Magic. We're here for it.
Right.
And now going on to some sports news. Colin Kaepernick, we still with you in the struggle, my brother. So he was supposed to have a workout and I believe an interview scheduled with the Seattle Seahawks. Mm-hmm. However, the colonizers rescinded because he said he don't know if he's still going to protest and kneel or not next season. And then they decided to change their minds. Y'all work on my nerves. Let this man do what he need to do. He still got bills to pay. Y'all disrespectful as fuck at this point. And if y'all sitting out here trying to say there is no racism or people are just, you know, just up in arms about the national anthem, that's all this is. No, it's a lot deeper than that, y'all.
And my whole thing is, why don't they let him or any of the athletes or just anybody famous fight for their struggle? That is their struggle. That's right. Their everyday life, and that's their truth. And you're saying that doesn't matter to me. I don't care about that.
Basically.
Right. Yeah, but I agree. They need to let him play. And they need to get up off their high horses. If you think about it, so many men in the NFL have had, like, violent domestic crimes.
Mm-hmm.
But they get to come back. They don't get put off
their
team.
Yeah, they don't get
They get some, like, little light suspension.
They get a suspension. And
you know what I mean?
That's
for some
it.
Games, and that's it. So I'm just like, this man is trying to do something positive.
Right.
And y'all want to shut him down. That says a lot about the NFL and a lot about America, I feel like.
And on top of that, y'all are hypocritical as hell, because this is First Amendment. This is freedom of speech. The KKK can walk down Kirkwood Avenue. Right. The KKK can literally walk down Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, for all my fellow Bloomington folks, because y'all know KKK, Southern Indiana, that's their mainland. That's where they stay. Can literally walk down the main streets of Bloomington, rally and everything, and it's freedom of speech. It's no issue. But let Colin kneel and stand up for something, for police brutality.
Everybody's
and trying to learn y'all people something, and y'all want to have an issue.
White privilege.
I'm sick of y'all.
Male privilege.
So Colin, we standing with you, bro. You decide to kneel, you keep on kneeling. God got you. He gonna make a way out of no way. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now on to our petty stuff. We're gonna be petty now. Miss Taylor Swift, girl, I don't know what you were thinking. I don't know who told you this was okay. But who said that you could take one of the...
almost another Black National Anthem. September. It's almost like it's up there.
Girl, at every family reunion, at every cookout, at every wedding. Ma'am, you don't touch anything that comes from the greatness that is of the elements, earth, wind, and fire. Are you kidding?
This is a complete fact.
Who did you think you were? Who did you think you were?
She's okay.
I didn't even want to listen to it because I'm just like, no, you're not going to ruin this song for me. You're not. Did y'all listen to it?
I haven't heard it. I've been trying to find it. I cannot find it. I need to get on YouTube. But even, I don't need to hear it to know it's a no. It's a no. It's a no. I feel like she probably watched too much Trolls.
She did.
Because that's how white people found out about that song. Mm-hmm. That and maybe random black movies or something. Mm-hmm. But
she said Justin and Timberlake and Anna Kendrick did it so I can do it. No, baby. No, you can't.
Justin's been down.
Stay in your lane.
Justin's even invited in question. To the cookout.
Justin's been invited to the cookout.
But he's even in the corner sometimes for throwing shade at Prince. Now, even though he did a Prince tribute at the Super Bowl, there is a history of him throwing shade at Prince, so he has stood in the corner for a while. But Miss Taylor Swift, what you will not do is traipse on in here and then you just sing September. I want to know who at the record label didn't stop it and say, "Look, Taylor, this is not a good idea.
Right.
This is not a song for you.
You're going to get dragged.
Right.
You're going to get dragged.
And we ain't even going to let you finish this time.
No, we're not. We're not.
Fuck that.
We're not. And you know, personally, I feel bad because y'all know how in the music industry, when you sample and remix stuff, the royalties go to... You gonna cost Earth, Wind, and Fire that coin, bro. So they ain't gonna make... Because you know that song is not gonna sell. Not gonna do nothing. It's not gonna do nothing. You gonna cost them that coin.
Get a little coin off of it. Because somebody's gonna be silly enough to be like, I've never even heard this song before. It's great.
I got a friend, a black friend, that listens to Taylor Swift faithfully.
I only like two of her songs.
She has some okay songs. I'll give her that.
I like two songs of hers.
Some people have never heard the song before. So this will be like their first...
That's real sad.
It is sad.
You don't leave bad impressions like that. That's just wrong.
So hopefully Earth, Wind, and Fire gets their coin.
I hope so too.
That could be the one good thing out of this.
That'd be the only thing. That'd be the silver lining. Literally. That's it. And going on to some more tea. So, as we all know, Real Housewives of Atlanta just wrapped up. We have two people that more than likely one of them is definitely for sure not returning. She has confirmed it.
Ooh.
Kim Sulciak is not returning. She said she's officially done.
Did her show get canceled?
No, her show's still on.
Okay. Then why was she even back?
Why is she on?
To stir up the season, spice it up. You know, she had issues with Candy and Mimi and all that. Yeah, wig bye, girl. We're not going to miss you. She tried to get all mad at Marlon Wayans for telling her she looked like, you know,
My kids loved you. I ain't watched a Marlon Wayans.
But girl,
movie.
That's what you look like. Your lips look like a damn blowfish.
That's true.
Like, that's what you look like, they different white chicks. So you're just accept it. Sorry, but that's what you look like. And it turns out that Sheree Peach has been taken away from her.
Probably because she didn't defend Nene when it came time to check Kim.
Possibly. What business do Sheree got, though? You know, like, what can she talk about?
Her convict boyfriend that's clearly a con artist, and she don't want to accept the fact that he's a con artist.
And she bought Sheree that's been coming out for almost, what, 7 seasons now?
Hey, the house finally got done, so we finally may see
and
she
that basement
Sheree.
Looks awesome, by the way. That basement was late.
Yeah, the house is
what
nice.
What can you say? Who's paying for this?
That's what I was about to say. Where did she get the money from, though? Because, like... Does she work? They asked Marlo where she works, but I'm like, sure.
Yeah, Kenya said her mama name on the house, so I don't know.
Her mama might have money. Shit, I don't know.
Right.
Because we know Bob ain't paying her shit. He ain't paying her shit. So we'll be saying bye to... I'm not tripping about Kim. Sheree...
I was starting to like Sheree. I didn't like Sheree in the beginning.
I like Sheree, but Sheree can also... She can be messy, but she also don't... One minute she want to own up to being the bone carrier. But then when shit hits the fan, it's... Oh, well, you know... She tries to, like, backpedal and say, well, it's actually more like this. No, say what you said. This is what you said. Don't try to play it down.
Being the bone carrier was her storyline. Yes. Without telling other people's business and being the instigator, the middle person...
She really had. And then, I mean, she talked more about her marriage with Bob. Now, last season, I did feel bad for her. The abuse and all that she had to deal with her marriage, I do feel bad for her.
I liked her the best last season, but this season, I don't know. She was just a little too messy, too wishy-washy, too
way too messy.
She can't wait to run and tell somebody business. And it was funny when they said Cynthia couldn't hold water, and Nene was like, I was unaware of this.
Right.
Right. Cynthia was just, I mean, Nene was probably just trying to be shady to Kenya. But Cynthia does seem like she can't hold water. She seemed like she'll probably run back and tell Nene everybody else's business, but she won't tell Nene's business.
She been not.
That's what I can say.
Danny will probably drag her ass right. if she did. Because she probably knows so much about Cynthia from when they was friends.
Ooh,
and she yeah. do seem like that type of person that'll tell your business if you make her mad enough when y'all ain't
lay all your more. Shit bare. Right. Like yeah. Chanel said in Save the Last
Cynthia probably tells Nene everything. She probably just gonna tell Nene shit.
Yeah.
But if I was Kim, you know, I really don't like her. But I would love it if I had 5-6 kids and my husband drove me around and I could drink as much
and
wine as I
and waited in the car for me, bitch. Yeah. I'd be turned up everywhere right. I go.
I will say that. I mean, she really don't need RHOA. I mean, her little Tari for the Party shows is still doing good. She got the white people Democrat. Yeah, I know what's still going on. But it's so funny because Candy Clap backed the fuck out back her. She tried to come for Candy and Candy was like, ma'am, why you sitting here talking about me? That's why I'm up here doing RHOA. I have the Escape spinoff special. I have a restaurant. I have bedroom candy. While your show is only running for 30 minutes, all my shows are hour-long specials. The fuck? I said, ooh.
Well, this is true. Candy will check a bitch.
Candy, this is true.
Candy will let you know.
People be sleep on Candy. Candy will read your ass for filth, and I love it.
She don't
it.
Throw
I'm
it up in your
it.
Face until you try to come for her.
Yes.
Like, I got too much money.
I'm going to show her Nene, and she's I like
Candy.
A rich bitch.
When it comes to shading and reading, I like Candy because she just keeps everything in the artillery.
That voice starts shaking, and then she be ready for that ass.
She said, I'm ready to drag you. That wasn't. She was, I'm ready to drag you, bitch. I said, oh,
right. Oh, yeah, the hotel party or the pajama party. Whatever.
Yes, she was about to fight. I said,
but I feel her when her voice gets to shaking because when I get mad, no, I do the same
girl.
Thing.
Me, so too. I'd be like,
and if I stutter, somebody getting smacked. I gotta go down at that point.
All I know is when my face start getting hot and my heart start racing, I just start rocking. I'm gonna be like, y'all need to back away because I'm trying to keep myself.
Girl,
if I start doing this, y'all need to run,
right.
Let's hope it never comes to that. Okay. Because
we
all
be angels.
All three of us is crazy. Okay.
I'm really the only angel.
Girl.
Don't let her fool y'all. Anyway, so finally we have Miss Nicki Minaj. Mm. So Nicki recently, you know, just dropped her two new singles, Barbie Tings and Chun-Li. She waited to drop them after, of course, Barty Gang. Dropping her album. She didn't want to overshadow Miss Cardi B.
Sure.
So she says. She's also recently has done an interviews discussing the whole motorsport fiasco and changing her verse and things saying she felt disrespected and wasn't getting no love from Cardi. Like, Trina's the only rapper she got love and respect from. And crying her tears and
hold on, what we not gonna do is drag Miss Nicki like this.
Okay. The only reason I am dragging Miss Nicki is because Nicki, it's the timing. You could have settled all this. Most sport been out for how many months?
Long time.
Okay. When everything was first coming out, you could have been squelched these issues. What did you do? You took Instagram hiatus to get your thoughts and your album together. Now everybody's hyped about Cardi B. Now you want to put all this stuff out and try to make my girl look bad. No.
They did talk about the motorsport stuff before, like this time, but everything that she said this time is not what she said the first time.
Exactly. So now, to me, you're being petty.
She just hasn't had an interview since then, and now she's finally coming out. She's doing interviews to promote
her
single.
It don't take nothing for them to get no interviews.
And somebody's asking her questions, and so she's just answering what she's being asked.
But didn't she tweet that? She could have tweeted. She could have set the record straight anytime.
There were some clips from the interview, and she tweeted some of the stuff. But
Nicki, she was on the Breakfast. Not Nicki. Cardi was on the Breakfast Club a few months ago, and she said something.
She was actually just on there again.
And she wasn't disrespectful. They asked her about the thing with her Nicki, and she was like, "We spoke. You know,
we're cordial."
See, but Nicki was like, she seemed like she was aggravated when about to talk about Nicki instead of being like, yeah, she's an okay person to work with or whatever. Which I don't know. It has to be tricky for artists especially when you're doing the scene to like try to work with the artist for the first time and read their personality and figure out. Are they genuine? Are they, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I just feel like I'm a Nicki and Cardi fan.
Why do we have to side with one person? Why does, like, one of them have to be right? Why can't two black successful women just win together.
I do and agree with Nikki, that. Yes.
Like, if she ain't worried about Cardi's success, she is worried about, like, female rappers getting the respect that they deserve, then she should have just been like, congrats on your success, Cardi.
Exactly.
Instead of making a big deal about it. Because this has already been talked about.
Right. Because she literally said, like, she said, you know, I don't wish nothing on her. You know, she's going with the wave and I'm happy for her. But,
So well, she first did it.
Yeah. So now it sounds like you got something you try to prove, and the fact that one of your lyrics says they're calling me the bad guy, and so I'm gonna be the best bad guy ever. It's like, it sounds like you got a little hater. We don't need no haters or holleration in this dance arena. Okay,
but men do this too in their songs. I think.
And it's just something about black female rappers. They just can't get along for some reason. If you think about it,
that's what the man wants us to do, is not get along.
UNITY.
You gotta let him know.
UNITY.
That's the unity.
UNITY.
Here we go.
UNITY.
That's the unity.
Where is it? Can we get it? Right. I do agree, though. Like, I feel like they both can be at the top, because people were trying to pit them against each other, too.
And I'm like, for it. They
why? Yeah. So it's just like, why do we have to, like, I love them both too. I feel like in this instance, Nikki is being petty. However, I'm a fan of both.
Cardi does get frustrated when people say stuff about her. If you just, like, look at her history and social media, she'll search her name and get mad or whatever. And I actually read a whole article. Somebody wrote a whole article about Cardi being, not really ungrateful, but just always complaining about stuff and people talking about her. And
yeah, I think even about storm, they don't be ready to get, you know, mm-hmm. what I mean, for people to be that rude and that brutal. Like, I'm sure even Beyonce has people in her comments, bitch, you the ugly shit, most overrated.
Oh, yeah, I've seen some comments on Beyonce.
You don't
even
have that baby.
Right. Especially with the first pregnancy. So, God. They just got to get used to.
You know, like, people really thought it was fake, her first pregnancy, and then when I
still do.
But when I was
no comment.
But no, when I was pissed, because what was it? She was on Regis when she sat down. There was like her belly went like this. But that happened to me when I was like still kind of first showing. I sat down. And then when I stood up, my last thing was like, wait a minute. Okay, now I can't be mad at Beyonce, because I just saw the same trick. Your stomach just did the same trick just now. So, you know what?
She did have that baby.
She had that baby.
Okay. Y'all, no. She did not have that baby.
Anyways, that's the tea for this week. Right. She had that baby.
She did not have the child. Right, the first one, anyway. She had the second one. She got baby belly now. But anyway.
She got a baby belly now.
She did have a little high-waist shorts over there.
She kept pulling her sweatshirt down. She's still looking cute. We love you, Beyonce.
Right, I got that mommy pooch, too. So, is that all the tea?
That is all the tea for this week.
That was a lot of tea. That mommy fupa to make the make the thing good. But moving right along, Miss Nika, do you have our parenting tip?
I do, as my kids just come in here.
Malik's my buddy today.
Okay, today's parenting tip is about being a good role model. And it says, be the role model your children deserve. They learn by watching their parents. Fess up when you blow it. This is the best way to show your child how and when they should apologize. Live a little greener. Show your kids how easy it is to care for the environment. And that's a good one, because our kids and our grandkids have to inhabit this earth. We really got to take care of it. Always tell the truth. Now, I don't know about that one.
Girl. Always tell the truth.
Tell that truth.
You know, some kids don't need to know everything right away.
Yeah, Christmas, birthday, surprises. And kiss and hug your spouse in front of the kids, or if you got a baby daddy, you know, just don't cuss the nigga out every time you see him. Right. And try not to talk crazy about him in front of your kids.
Yes.
And respect parenting differences. If your spouse or a children's father has a different approach to your parenting, don't just down it from the jump.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Be open-minded.
Criticizing or arguing with your partner could do more harm than good for your child.
I like that.
So, there you go.
I read a book called No Excuses by Brian Tracy. In the section on parenting advice, one of the things said, how you behave every day. You can still see me, so it's fine. How you behave every day is how your children will behave every day. So I feel like it's saying the same thing. Like, whatever you do in front of your kids, they are going to mimic it whether you like it or not.
That is true.
So you need to keep, not much I want to preach, but I try to keep in mind that no matter what I do in front of my child, she's going to repeat it one day. And it's going to come out of her. And I'm going to be looking like, where did she learn that? I don't do that. Yes, the hell you do. But yeah, how you behave every day. And then I look at it, my friends, and then I look at their parents, I'll be like,
You act just like your mom.
Right. And sometimes it's good, but sometimes it ain't so good. Like, friends with loud parents, and then the kids be loud as hell, too. Like, damn. But, yeah. It's so, kinda, I don't know. That's my little spiel on that. So, moving into our topic as we fix our camera. And, you know, we got videos coming for y'all, so make sure y'all watch our videos. We're going to try to start putting them on YouTube so we have a visual. So, yeah, keep that in mind. Before we do that, Nika, you got a mom confession?
Oh, that's right. I got to get the kids a popsicle.
It was late night, and I was hungry, and I had some yogurt. I love yogurt and granola, but I ran out of granola, so I smashed up some of the kids' Teddy Grahams and put it in my yogurt.
Why did I just tell my mom yesterday? I was like, I'm going to put some graham crackers in this. I'm about to smash up some graham crackers in this yogurt.
It was so good. And y'all know Cardi came out. I've been listening to it every day, twice a day. And Malik was like, Mommy, play Rolly Rolly, because he loves that song. He wants to listen to it every day. And I was like, okay. And started playing Big and Hit.
Oh,
he was like, I don't want to hear this.
Right? This is not my song, Mom. My child better not come out asking for no popsicle, because she's not allowed to have that.
Ooh, I just gave her one.
Girl.
And I remember I had already told her that Malik and Bahar couldn't have one until they got home.
Right. Lex being the bad auntie, giving out popsicles and sugar.
Right.
Look, I was trying.
All right, when they all over your floor.
I was trying to keep them quiet.
We gonna, I'm going to just be like, I told you not to give it to them.
When they get done, Malik gonna run up here, Mommy, I got that.
Right.
Look at her crying. Look what Lex done started.
Right. Okay, so last night I was watching Iyanla Fix My Life, because y'all know I love me some Iyanla. But she's a little harsh sometimes. It's like lately she's been a little more tender and a little more compassionate.
Oh.
But so last night Hazel E was on there.
Oh, Lord.
And y'all know she's kind of a hot mess. She
kind
of. Well, she was. I mean, I've only seen like one or two seasons of Love and Hip Hop Hollywood, so I don't know a whole lot about her.
Oh, child.
But
she's
on
a
there,
hot mess.
She kind of was like popped off. She had a bunch of plastic surgery. And then on Twitter, she's always popping out talking about you dark butts and you monkey looking bitches and you black ass bitches, this and that. And so, you know, Iyanla met with her mom and, like, was looking into her history and was reading some of her song lyrics. First of all, I did not know she was 37 as of now. So that means when we first saw her, she was, like, probably around 33, 34. But my thing is, my nigga, you this old making songs about pop my butt and six shots of Patron and pop my pussy, which male rappers do it too, so I guess there is a double standard. But I'm just like, damn, at 37...
But then, like, she was a publicist. She had a good career before she started. For the life of me, that don't make no sense.
She acts like she's been in the game all this long and she a veteran. It's like, bitch, nobody knows who you are except for Love and Hip Hop.
Right.
And the fact that you fucked Young Berg and then you still mad at Masika. Like, that's all we know you for. And you talk shit about Masika. And, like, I mean, I don't like Masika that much either.
I'm
not
sick of her and what's her name, but.
I said we don't want to get on a tangent.
But one episode was about her, and then the other episode was about two sisters who were in their 40s or 50s now, and one of them had a baby at 16, and the mom, their mom, took one of them baby, and so the mom and the one sister raised the baby while the other sister got put out and lived her life.
Oh, wow.
And so they feuded, and then the lady that gave her baby to her sister and mom, her two daughters, the daughter that lived with her mom and the daughter that lived with her, ended up being like not being able to get along. So it was like a generational pattern that got passed on.
Hmm.
And so I was just thinking, between all that and between Beyonce giving us that wonderful heritage and history full and black women's empowerment and all that in her performance, we should talk about...
Plus Lemonade,
definitely.
Oh, that was the shit.
That was the shit. So I'm like, it's a good time to talk about mother and daughter relationships and generational patterns that we pass along to our daughters and that have been passed along to us. And just, you know, put it out there. And I feel like this is a good episode for men, too, because you can use some of this when you talk to your daughter. If she's not as close with her mom, or if you just want to be close with your daughter and know what's going on in her head.
Put her,
you know,
on some game, because listen.
Do that.
They need that.
Do that. And so, Lex, I know you have a son, but just go in the scope of... If you ever have a daughter or things, your relationship between you and your mom, you can look at that perspective too.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could, a step out, describe your womanhood in three words, what would those three words be?
I gotta think on that one.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, my woman.
I didn't come up with my three yet either, so I'm not.
So look, girl, I'm about to ask how about you start.
I could try to start.
Okay.
Just don't make it deep. Just the first three words that come to your head.
Okay.
But I would say, I'm not trying to define my life. I have to figure out my life versus my woman, right?
Womanhood.
I would say nurturing. I would say strength. And I would say delicate.
I would say growth. I would say reinvention. And I would say...
I like reinvention. That's a good one.
Growth, reinvention, and... I don't want to... Endurance.
I would go with resilient. I would... Then the next one I would say is... Evolving. And then my last one, I would say, I'm trying to think of where, like I know I still got some things to work on. Like, I'm still...
Reflective or improving or that's kind of like evolving though.
I guess kind of be or I guess I'm like transparent. Like I know, like I still got some areas. I'm trying to think of a good word to describe that. I guess I would say
accepting of need for improvement.
Right, it could be a phrase. It doesn't have to be just one word. It's just me. It's
not still working on me.
Still working on me.
Right. Yeah. Under construction.
Under construction. There we go. Under construction. There we go. No, that works. Yes. Resilient, evolving, under construction.
That's good. I feel like we all said kind of, not the same things, but along the same lines. So, do you feel like you got those things from your mom, or are they things you, like, picked up as on your journey as a woman?
I would say resilient I got from my mom, because I saw her struggle in different areas financially. I saw her struggle emotionally. I saw her struggle just trying to, you know, just trying to make it and do good for her child and for herself and just trying to face life. But, you know, it's like Cardi says, she got knocked down 9 times. She got back up 10. So I would say, and with everything I've been through, I feel like I'm still here by the grace of God, but also because I haven't given up and she never gave up. So, she's always been a fighter, and I firmly believe I get that from her. Anything else? Oh, sorry. I was trying to say. Oh, and then I think the other two is life in general. So, that's what I'm saying. Wrap that up.
Growth and reinvention is just something I've gotten from life in general, but I definitely get endurance from my mom. I know she's been through a lot, and she just always makes it through. She always makes a way. You know, she gonna figure some stuff out.
The race is not given to the swift. Yeah, sorry, I just thought about that.
That's moms in general.
What about you, Lauren?
You know what? I was thinking the only one I got from my mom was strength, but I think I got the delicate from her in some ways, because she's always very strong, so I don't always see, like, the most emotional side of her. But as a woman, she's always very dainty and,
my grandma's,
you know,
like that.
So I think I do get some of the delicate from her. But I thought I picked that up on my own, but I guess I did not. So, what's the most valuable lesson your mom taught you about being a woman or just about life in general? Was she right?
Go to work.
Girl, I hate that rule. Shit.
Check your time card.
Yes,
check at the end of every week. Make sure you get your money. If I didn't learn nothing else from my mama, I learned get your money. And double check to make sure you got your money.
Right.
Because they'll try to take your money.
They will. Mother suckers.
My mom, well, I can't just pick one. I have top two. Because I feel like these are the two she always reiterated to me. We don't kiss ass for friends.
Okay.
We don't kiss ass for friends.
That's a strong way to put it.
Yeah. Okay. But those were her exact words. We don't kiss ass for friends. She's like, if people don't like you, then they're not meant to be your friends. And the people that are there for you will love you and be there for you as you are. And your true friends, no matter what happens, whether you right, wrong, or indifferent, or they right, wrong, or indifferent, they will love you and respect you for calling them out on their bullshit. And we don't beg people to be your friends, because that's not, you're a leader, not a follower. So those two kind of went hand in hand. And then, of course, that I am a priority. I'm a queen, and I should never let any man make me feel less than what I need, than what I am, or treat me any less than what I deserve.
That's true. That's a big one I want to teach Hunter, too. Like, go get him, Tiger, but at the same time, make them come get you. Mm-hmm. But moving to my point, I think the biggest lesson my mom ever taught me was to be myself and don't be afraid to not follow the crowd and don't be afraid to, you know, just be who I am and just stand on my own, too. It's okay to be alone. And I think that was definitely, the other part of the question was she right? And I think that was definitely true because now I'm finding that as I get older, the crowd that I would kind of separate my, not really separate myself from, but that I would just be like, I ain't doing that. I don't need to do that shit. Like, we're in totally different spaces now. You know what I mean? If that makes sense. So it definitely paid off to stick to myself.
My mom was definitely right about that. You know, I've had friends that I've known literally since I was 2 end up falling off. And as much as it hurt, I just got to remember, like, you know, I'm not going to kiss nobody's ass to be my friend.
Right.
You know? Don't kiss. And at the end of the day, I've got to have respect for myself. And if you don't respect me or our friendship enough, then I really don't need you in my life.
Right. Yeah. So do y'all plan to teach them same lessons to your kids?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell Terrence, you don't kiss no butt for no little fuckboy head friends. No. No.
You gonna call them fuckboys?
Yes. and not fuckboys as far as how they treat girls.
But there'll be a different term by the time they
this is true.
Like, Mom, what's that fuckboy? You're so old.
Well, yeah. You ate it all? Good job. Now you only get one because I don't want you bouncing off the walls because your mom's gonna kill me if you bounce off the walls.
The popsicle bag.
But as I was saying, yeah, but not just as far as how they treat girls, but just how they act in general. Like, if these group of boys are acting up in school and not doing the right thing and you got to do what they do to be friends, they don't need to be your friends.
Right.
We're not kissing butt for friends. No, you're a leader, not a follower.
That's the truth right there. So, what are y'all going to teach y'all daughters about boys, dating, sex?
Oh, Lord.
When do you plan to have that talk? I feel like it's going to come sooner. But first of all, I can't say it never came with me. My mom would be like Sunday morning at the breakfast table. And we'd be sitting down, you know, eat breakfast. My mom would be like, so, what's going on? You guys have boyfriends? Are you having sex? Is there anything going on I should know about? Like, she really wanted us to be open about it.
My mom was like that, too. Yeah.
And I was so secretive.
My stepmom, too.
I wish I would have actually taken advantage of that and been able to come out and say, well, I do like this guy. Well, I do like... But I was always very timid and shy. So I was just like, no, of course there's not any boys. What are you talking about? You know?
Yeah. My stepmom. Both my mom and my stepmom were pretty open with that kind of stuff. My mom... I was more apprehensive to talk to my stepmom than my mom about sex just because my mom was like the cool mom. But then there's moments my stepmom would come out back and be like, okay, well, I guess I could,
stepmom, that's how they get
it. Okay, you know.
Stepmom's
be
cool.
Yeah, you know, so it's like, yeah, I could actually be open with both of them.
Trying to get you to tell all your little business.
Yeah, and my mom, she always made, like, I'd rather you, I don't know why I have my lipstick in my hand. She said, I would rather you get asked, she's like, I don't care how dumb it is if you think I'm going to get mad, I'd rather you come to me than try and get your information out in the streets.
Right,
that's how you get fucked up.
My mama said that too. Don't ask your friends. Come ask me because your friends don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do, go ask my friends. Like, girl.
Should have been asking mom.
Right. So what are you going to teach your daughter about sex, though?
Oh, yeah. What I'm going to... See, okay, so
boys,
I be...
Like, what's, like, a main lesson you're going to say when you have first... Have
sex,
sit
does,
down.
Sex does not equal love.
That was... My mom used to say that all
baby,
the time,
baby, baby. That was the one of the main lesson my mom told me. Sex does not equal love. These niggas will make you feel...
But I love him, auntie.
These niggas will make you feel like they love you, but just because they fuck you does not mean they love you. I'm gonna preach that to her because I need her to understand that sex is, while sex can mean love in the right with the right person, it is primarily a physical act. So therefore, don't think these boys out here love you. Don't do because you get messed up every time.
I don't really know what I'm gonna teach my daughter.
girl. But I do know that whatever I tell her, I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to let her know, like you said, sex doesn't equal love. They will lie to you.
Girl will lie in a heartbeat.
And something that I want my daughter to know and understand is that middle school and high school only last so long.
That's what my mom used to say, too.
There are so many other men. Like, none of this shit matters after high school. And there's so many more men in college. And they still going to be cutting up with you in college. So, and I was with their dad for a long time. And I was just thinking, when they go to college, if my daughter has a boyfriend, I'm not going to tell her to break up with her boyfriend. But I am going to encourage her to explore and have fun. You, at the end of the day, you just never know.
Right. And if it's meant to be, oh, Malik.
We just had a ball.
If it's, right? Y'all gotta watch the video for that.
But, Ladies Night Bloopers. Woo!
Right. But if it's meant to be, two, we'll get back together. You
right.
know what I mean?
I was also gonna say, Dang it, I had a thought and a lesson I was gonna say. I said sex doesn't equal love. It was something else Nika had said along the lines of, yeah, being single, like, oh, middle school, that was us. Well, I don't know how we thought this middle school love was real love, y'all.
We didn't even get in.
How did we think?
Write letters.
We really thought we was in love in middle school and high school. Now, some people really do have that high school sweetheart love that lasted 20, 30 years. Yeah, so
congrats to y'all, for real.
But baby, some of this love I thought I had in middle school and high school was not love. And I don't know why I thought it was. But I was so heartbroken. Like, so, so heartbroken. And little did I know, there was more to come.
Right? There's definitely more to come.
I would tell my daughter, like, girl, don't you worry, because guess what? You got a whole lot more to come, baby. So don't cry over him. I know you hurt, but guess what? Something gets a whole lot worse out here. This is the small stuff.
This is true.
You'll be okay.
I want to make sure that I have a village of women who are going to keep it real. Women and men around my kids, because I know if I can't get through to my daughter, my sister certainly will be able to.
Mm-hmm,
so right. I want to make sure that she spends a lot of time with them and gets comfortable around them, because, you know, who isn't comfortable with their aunt?
Right. Oh, yeah, my aunt Pookie, that's my homegirl.
Oh, her name Pookie, we know.
Right. her real name is Claire, but her nickname is Pookie. And to this day, she's like, why do you still call me Pookie? I'm like, because you're Aunt Pookie. Like, right. I can't not call you Aunt Pookie. You got Aunt Pookie, that's how you know she real, though. She real. And Aunt Pookie will come and fuck some shit up if you test
Pookie,
her.
Right.
Aunt Pookie is live, okay?
Right.
She stay on 10.
The one thing I'll probably try to teach Hunter about dating is, well, more than one. Number one, that dating more than one person does not make you a hoe.
Yeah.
And that you don't have to feel like, oh, well, I already dated one guy, so I can't talk to another one. Because that was my big thing. I don't want to be seen as a hoe. If I talk to this guy, but it doesn't work out, then I want to talk to this guy, and then people are going to judge me. So, like, date around. You know what I mean? Don't feel like you have to sit with one person.
Do not put all your A's in one basket.
Yeah, do that. And then my other is that you are the catch.
You are the catch.
That's the benediction right there.
Yes. And I don't care what the situations are. He could be tall, fine, have all the money. I don't care. You are the catch.
You don't
carry yourself like you're the catch.
No man.
You don't do nothing. These niggas need to bow down to you. You don't bow down to them.
Yes.
And I'm not going to raise the diva.
I'm going to tell her to watch the Beyonce video.
But there is a difference between shooting your shot and chasing a man. You can shoot your shot.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
But we ain't chasing no
man. I'm a teacher. Go ahead. You know, if you're interested in a little boy, go get him that ball. Shoot. Ask him, do he want to play on the teeter totter? Whatever it is. But
you want to share my young. You want to share my facts? I got an extra huggy juice. Here you go.
Niggas face like, but maybe that's a little young. But my point is, like, be confident enough. Sure, approach a guy. But don't be the thirsty girl that's just like, you know what I mean? Dropping and popping and doing everything to try to get somebody's attention and doing a bunch of extra shit. Like, you know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, Mahari, yes! Little party gang and Cheney. Go, okay.
What's one thing y'all wish somebody would have told y'all?
I wish they would have told me the thing about, you know, just being with one guy for a long... And actually, I did have a high school teacher. She asked if we were going to stay together when I went to college. And she said,
your high school teacher was in your business like that.
We'd be in the business.
You know, especially the honors teachers, they'd be close
with you. Oh, yeah, the ones you close with.
Yeah,
okay.
But She was like, oh, in a couple of years, I'll see you at the grocery store and ask you if y'all were still together, and you'll cry. And
you'll cry. And
that probably hurts to think about right. now.
I used to hold that in the back of my head, like, I'm going to prove Miss Rock wrong. And then,
she here was I right. am. Here I am.
Girl, you need to write her a letter. I don't know what she goes
like, girl.
I did. I really
girl,
did.
You were right. Oh, you did. Oh.
I wrote her a letter.
Like, girl, really you did. Was right, girl. Here I am sitting here crying, writing like, this letter. Little,
two kids? And right? after I graduated, I really did write her a letter.
I told her. I didn't tell you, but I would have done the same thing.
Yeah. I wish somebody would have told me.
I'm trying to think.
I wish probably, yeah, I wish, I think I wish I would have had someone tell me to not that I didn't get told not to worry so much about what other people think, but I would say in regards to my sexuality and dating, because I feel like I was raised so much to be like the classy girl, I was the church girl, I was the good girl, you know, so I'd be kind of worried like, okay, not that I'm just out here fucking, but I know there's a more full freaking dirty side to me, but I'm not sure if I should let that show because I don't want people to think I am out here screwing everyone. But now that I'm grown, I'm like, look, I am grown. I have a child. I am almost 30. I don't care what y'all say. I'm going to say what I want to say and do what I want
to
do.
That's what I was doing. When you was talking, I was like, I wish I just had somebody to tell me to do you and have fun.
Yes. Because
there's so many men out here and they don't matter. They don't care.
At all.
They don't care. So just when you're that young, all that matters is just having fun, living life. And worried about a man for what?
Right. See, and my mom used to say that to me, like, don't be worried about these men, do this, do that. And I listened because I was literally boy crazy. I was definitely actually into boys like that. Once I like lost my virginity, every now and then I find a little F buddy and we, you know, kick it and do our thing. But I've never really been like one of the girls that always had a boyfriend or always had to have a boyfriend. So in one area, I guess I'm glad I was taught that. And it has definitely paid off. But then on the other hand, I feel like, and this goes into the one thing that I wish somebody would have taught me, is to be vulnerable. Because it's like, since I was never the relationship type, I never really learned to be vulnerable with a man and be able to just, like, express my feelings all the time and, you know, just be very soft and, I don't know, so I'm learning that now. But that's one thing I would have wished I would have learned.
That's crazy because I wish that I would have been harder. I don't want to say hard. I don't like that term. But I wish I wasn't so vulnerable and wasn't so soft and nice. And I wish I would have had a little mean streak in me growing up.
Girl, I had a potty mouth. I would say whatever, tell dirty jokes. I was that girl. Just, you know what I mean? Just say anything. But, yeah, I definitely wish I would have been more vulnerable.
See, that's me now. Just saying what I want to say, doing what I want
to
do.
And now I'm learning to tone it down and to not just
shoot
off at the mouth all the time.
Is that when I be saying stuff to you and you hint around that you're trying to tone it down, I'd be like, dang, I used to be that girl.
Like, I'll be trying to. And, you know, we have our little moments even on here where we both just be talking shit.
Okay, I had to go on movie duty.
That's the old Lauren. But, yeah, I definitely wish somebody would have told me it's okay to be vulnerable. And that goes back to the moms being strong and the strength, too. Because I feel like moms are always so strong, they just pass it on to us that we need to be strong and hold that same solid face on and we can fix it attitude at all times. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, I had to figure out where we... Sorry, I was on movie TV. I was like, where we discussing?
We're still talking. I was just saying one thing I wish I would have learned.
Oh, okay.
So, Hunter, be quiet. When did y'all moms talk to y'all about periods before y'all got them?
About what period?
Your period.
I kept like false. So we thought it was the first one, and it really wasn't. I did that like for a couple years, and then it like just chilled out, and then I finally got it. So it was like, oh, I already know it. This is it. It's here. Malik, honey, what you doing, baby?
Malik said, "I'm on camera now. This is my movie."
He said, "I need more camera time. I need my camera time."
Yeah, my mom talked to me about my period probably as long as I can remember. She was bringing up, you know, one day I'll get a period, one day. I actually was excited for it because we talked about it so much. How naive was I?
I remember.
Now I hate it.
When I first got my period, I was coming to visit my dad, and my grandma was watching us that day, and my mama said, "She's a woman now."
That's crazy. Please. Oh, God. She's a woman now. She's a woman. I got mine in the, like, it was kind of embarrassing for me. So I got it on Christmas break.
Oh, damn.
While I was at family's house, studying with my dad.
Aww.
Wasn't preparing nothing. Because like you said, like I said, it had chilled out. So I'm thinking, okay, it'll just, whatever. Like, there was no spotting, no signs, no nothing. And it just literally just came. Like, I went to the bathroom and boom, there it was. And I was just like, Miss Angie! My stepmom was like, I need help! And then she's like, what's going on? I'm like, it finally came. She's like, oh man, now I want to come.
Right.
Because she knew it had been stopping and stalling too. So yeah, I had to change clothes and put myself in the washer and dryer because I was just, right. I was just SOL that day. Just completely SOL.
Yeah, mine came in like fifth grade. It was a Saturday. And I remember I went to the bathroom. And that's back when you were like young and you weren't running your house in t-shirt and panties all Saturday.
Oh, right.
And I went to the bathroom and I looked down and I said, hold on, wait a minute now.
Wait a minute now.
Why is it brown? Because I guess I'm
why is it brown?
So I had like dried. And then I looked in when I wiped and there was blood and I was like, oh my God, I really got my period. Like, it's really happening to me. Like,
then you can't wait to tell your little friends.
Right? Like, girl, guess what? I'm a woman now.
Now, that's what I was going to ask.
And back then, you didn't have a locker in fifth grade. You just, everybody put their book bag in one cubby. So when you ran to the bathroom, it's like trying to sneak it in your pocket real quick. So
right.
Can see it.
And why were you trying to sneak it away?
Because I was in fifth grade. Boys wasn't like they are now when they run red lights. Back then, they were scared.
Like, eww, nasty. But that was my question
did
I was going to ask.
Did they still run red lights?
Huh?
Never mind.
Oh, they rerunning them red lights.
They sometimes they do.
I'm just saying they run them.
But that was a question I was actually getting ready to ask because we all that phrase of "I'm a woman now" to your daughters. There's been discussion now lately, like that phrase, and I can see this, which I can kind of agree with in a way that saying like, "Oh, you're a woman now" is now put them in that place. Well, now I'm grown because I have a period. Because of course now, no, biologically they can have babies, they right. can have sex. So it's like, is that something you're going to, how are you going to explain that to your daughter when that comes? Are you going to put that phrase like, well, you're a woman now? And are you, how do you plan to approach that subject with her without her thinking, oh, well, I'm a woman now, so I'm grown, I can do what I want. And,
right. Yeah. You know what? That's a good question. I might frame it as you're a woman now, and now you have an added responsibility because now you can conceive children. Mm. So
I like that, added responsibility.
So you now have an added responsibility to take care of yourself. And to make sure that you don't bring a life into this world, no matter what you do, until you are married, this is your responsibility now that you have a period.
I like that added responsibility.
Yeah, because I do want to talk to my kids like they are little adults.
Mm-hmm. And I think they appreciate that.
Yeah.
And they need it. We need to stop babying these kids. Especially in today's time. No.
Especially by the time they're old enough to have a period. Like, I'm all for baby and little kids.
I got mine when I was 14.
Older kids. And I was like 11. I was young.
I was 9.
Damn.
And see, that's the thing. Depending on what age you get in, puberty-wise, like 14, you know, I was having crushes. I wanted a little holding hands and a little kissy kiss. You know, the hormones get the raging, so you know you got to keep it real.
I mean, I had crushes in fifth grade, but I wasn't nowhere.
Well, yeah, not in fifth grade, but I was 14 in eighth grade. I was about to go to high school, so my little hormones was, you know, they was firing off. You know, I thought about kissing boys. You know, I was like, I wonder what's that like. And by this time, you know, people knew what fingering was. That was like the worst you could do with that.
I know, right?
You know?
I remember fingering. So juvenile.
Oh, gosh. We're like, oh, my gosh. She got her. She got fingered. Oh, my goodness.
I remember when I got my first underwire bra.
Oh,
did
Lord.
I think I was in like 7th or 8th grade when that happened, too. And I hated it.
Y'all wouldn't believe
I actually. They were grandma bras. They were like brown and tan.
Y'all probably wouldn't even believe I actually used to be an A cup. That seems like it just so far away.
Well,
I was an A cup, I think, in like 5th, 6th grade.
I mean, everybody got
by 7th or 8th grade, I was in a C, and then, yeah, the rest is history.
But see, I had huge boobs in 5th grade. I had to be at least like a C or a D by the time I was in 5th grade. Like, when I started my period, my puberty hit hard. Matter of fact, I think I hit puberty. I know I hit puberty. I had boobs in 4th grade. So I don't know if I just had hormones coming out of like the woodwork, but I had boobs.
Yeah, like
grade.
You had the underarm hair and all that was coming, and I had the acne real bad.
Yeah, I thought I
was the period was like the last thing to come.
I had
like,
big old hips.
Yeah, I had wide.
Yeah, hips. I was the chunky girl. I had all the baby fat.
But see, like I said, I thought I was chubby, but really nobody else had hit puberty yet, so their hips didn't start spreading.
Yeah,
they didn't have boobs. Too. They didn't have anything. So looking back, I probably wasn't even that big. I just had like a womanish type body. Which is weird.
Yeah, I went back and looked at some pictures, and I was like, I cannot believe I thought I was fat. I thought
girl.
I was just huge. I was banging. If I had known that then, I would be a much different person than
like,
I am.
Like, I still had a I still had a pooch, like a little pooch and stuff. But I think a lot of reason why I thought I was so big is because I was the one thick black girl on a dance team of 20-something skinny-ass white girls. So I felt big all the damn time.
I had a lot of white friends, too. They were small, tiny.
Yeah. So then, my two other girl friends that were black on the team were also smaller than me. So I just felt big all the time. I look back at pictures now like, what the hell was I thinking? I'm trying to get back down to the high school weight now. I was like 190, between 190 and 200 pounds in high school and thought I was fat. I was delirious.
Yeah, I feel you. Like I said, I was the same way. So, do you guys have like generational patterns in your family that you see or generational traumas or anything like
this
that?
This weight? It's just being question. Real.
I guess that's fair. That's fair.
This weight? Because that's why I'm trying to beat it now, because I refuse to have high blood pressure, diabetes. Cholesterol, heart problems, I refuse.
I mean, that's my favorite too.
I love you, Mama. But the women in my family do not have the best relationships with their mothers. So, you know, it's bad communication, not really understanding your child. So I just, you know, I want to have a good relationship with my daughter, and I want to be able to empathize and sympathize. I want her to know how much I love her, that I would never do anything to hurt her. I just wanted to know that I'm there to protect her. I never want her to feel like she doesn't have a protector. So, yeah.
Malik, you all in the camera, honey.
Right. Malik said that's his video time. I'm trying to think of any I know there's generational patterns in my family is predominantly women, so I feel like it's not necessarily a mother-daughter thing, but women tearing each other down, even if it's just like in a playful way. And I love my mom and aunts, but it's just like, you know, one person like, oh, I'm losing weight. And another person like, well, you need to put down that bread then. You know, little stuff like that. And it's just like, I know you guys are just joking, but
it's like, damn.
That's
so
funny.
Right.
Yeah, that can hurt somebody's feelings deep down inside. And so I don't want to joke with Hunter in that way, because my mom will even joke with me sometimes. Like I said, I love my mom too. But you know, she's definitely joked about my weight or been like, you know, you don't want to be the girl that they say you got a pretty face, but she's a big girl. She'll say little stuff like that. So I know what that love. And I definitely love my mom too, but I just want to be more mindful of things like that with my daughter.
Yeah, I love my grandmother, my mother's. I mean, I love both my grandmothers. My dad's mother has passed away back when I was in high school. But my mother's mother, I love her dearly, and she has always been there for me. But she used to tear me down with my weight at home, in front of friends. And that's something I plan to not do. With Lord, when I have a daughter, or you know, even with my son, like he's solid now. He ain't obese, but he's solid.
He is solid. I love baby
C. I know, but because I know what runs in our family, if he happened to be a little bigger, I'm not gonna tear him down about his weight. I'm gonna be helpful and supportive about his weight because that affected my self esteem a lot.
Right.
Like the one time she did it with one of my guy friends, and we were literally like just friends, but it was the first time he had ever been to my house.
Right.
And he had just lost weight. So, you know, like, we're all celebrating him and stuff. Like, the fact that he lost all his weight because he used to be big. And my grandma makes a remark about my midsection and talking about if I got my midsection down, I could get a boyfriend. And I was like, okay, so we're just going to go there?
Right. Thanks, Grandma.
Thanks so much. And my mom and my grandma's best friend at the time, who I looked as an aunt, was like, girl, how dare you? Like, in front of her friends, though?
At least they had your back, though.
They did have my back. And my grandma came back and apologized, which she's a true Taurus. She don't like to apologize for nothing. She's stubborn as all get out.
Right.
So, yeah, but yeah, that's something I was like, I would never do to my kids because I hated it. I was like, I already got picked on at school. Then I would come home and hear my grandma talk about it.
Yeah, I feel that. And I feel like that's something that black households have bad.
Yeah, like, I don't understand that. I feel
like
that's something
we have bad. Like, we will tear each other down and say it's out of love, but we will talk about each other so bad.
Yeah, like, I don't get how comparing me to my friends and making me feel like I have to be small in order to get someone, in order to, that, like... Like, I know, like, it's like, Grandma, I know you want me to see me with a little boyfriend, and, you know, she grew up in the 50s, so, you know, they was all trying to be Marilyn Monroe Coke bottle type bodies, but, you know, actually, there's a lot of niggas out here checking for thick girls, y'all just too embarrassed to say so.
Some of them checking out proud, it don't even matter. You gotta find the right one.
That's true. But I'm getting this way down for me.
Something else, I see a lot of the women in my family just doing, like, day-to-day stuff, you know, they go to work. They come home and cook, and they go to sleep, and they just do that over and over again. Oh, I never really see, like, women going after what they want, you know? No, I never really heard the women in my family talk about goals or aspirations or doing anything other than going to work, you know? So.
Yeah, that's true.
I want my heart to know that she doesn't have to live an everyday, ordinary life. She probably will for a long time, but that doesn't have to be
her norm.
Her norm. She can be whatever she wants to be.
Yeah, and you know what? That's weird because in my family, my grandmother was that woman that, you know, she worked, she took care of five children on my mother's side. My grandmother on my dad's side only had one daughter and had five boys, so it's kind of different. But, well, it's different as far as the mother-daughter dynamic. But anyway, but all of my grandmother on my mother's side's daughters, only two of them got married and did the mom work thing. The other two girls... just pretty much worked and stayed single women for all their lives. One aunt is like the rich, fancy aunt that, you know, flies to Amsterdam every year for her birthday and has like two cars, you know, a really nice condo on the Northwest Side type deal. And my other aunt is single, but she works two jobs and she makes a lot of money too. So they kind of went the opposite. And I don't know if it's because of my grandmother and granddad's relationship. Before my grandma died when I was 13, she was like, when your granddad died, I decided I would never get married again. I was not going to do that again. And I was like, damn, what you mean by that? But over time, after, like, learning what she went through and, like, the issues they had in their marriage as far as, like, you know, infidelity and stuff, it's, like, a big secret in my family, so I don't even want to say it. But, you know, dealing with all that, it kind of makes sense to me now. Like, that's why she said she'll never do that again.
Because she went through so much hell.
Yeah. And, you know, marriage was kind of need-based back then. Like, women couldn't really survive on their own. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why she instilled it into my mom and aunts to be independent and to never depend on no man. Because that was another big thing.
Yeah, don't ever depend on no man.
You don't need no man.
Yeah, that was another big
thing. Have your own money. Have your own things. So when he come along, he's just a bonus. And he got what he got together. And y'all just... It all comes together.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I was gonna say, I think that's why people say now, like, women are too independent, women are too blah blah blah. But I think that's where it started, with the generation before our parents having to endure everything that they did with their husbands and just telling their daughters, like, I don't want you to have to live like this, my daughter. Yeah. I want you to have a better life. Where it got spun out of control at, I don't know. We'll have to do some research into that. But
My mom preached about that more, not just from a man's standpoint, but she did depend on my grandma a lot for financial help. And a lot of that was her own pride, not wanting to ask my dad, her running credit cards up, not being financially sound and responsible, and coping, all that extra stuff. And so that was one thing she was preaching. She's like, get your own stuff together so you don't have to depend on me, your grandmother, you know, anyone. Like, you know, family will help you, but, like, I'm not trying to rob Peter to pay Paul and then always having to ask my grandmother and my dad or something to bail me out. So that's why I'm, like, I'm really about my finances, like, because I saw, after a while, you know, people will get tired of helping you. Like, you always asking for help. Yeah. You always need help. People get tired of asking for help. So I really try to be independent on that track, because it's, like, I should have my own at 27, or at least, you know, be stable enough to where it's like, I only need help when I really, really do need it. Like, when I just can't.
My great-great-grandma, we were at a family dinner a couple of years ago. I can't remember if it was before or after I had Malik, and I was getting ready to go back to school, and she said, Janika, I hope you have a good life. And my grandma jokes with me all the time, and she was like, and I really mean that. I want you to have a good life. And it made me cry. Just that simple sentence, I hope you have a good life, because...
That made me cry, too.
I'm like the only person in my family. There's not many people. There's probably, like, I have, like, three or four cousins who have been to college, but not many of us have. But that meant a lot to me. Yeah. And then, on the you don't need a man tip, Have y'all ever noticed that black women are raised and taught that, you know, to live without a man, but I don't think white women are raised that way.
They're taught to seek a man all the time.
Yeah, white women are taught to seek a man, and black women are taught to survive without him, to basically just expect disappointment from men.
And, you know, I wonder, that's interesting, because I feel like as black women, if we are the ones seeking a man, then we are considered thirsty and just want husbands. But I feel like white women don't, like, I feel like that's a norm for them to be able to seek out a husband or go to college to get married. But I feel like as black women, it's a negative connotation for us to be like, well, I do want a husband. I'm looking to get married. It's, oh, you're just trying to get married. You just want a husband. You're just thirsty.
I was about to say, because another black woman will look at you like you're crazy if you say that.
This is true.
But just think about how many times you heard your mama say, you don't need no man. You don't need that man. Forget that man.
And then, but then if you,
you can do bad by yourself, girl.
But then if you don't need a man, it's like, well, I don't need a man and I can do this all by myself. Then you're bitter. You are your own man.
You're going to be at home alone.
Yeah. You're going to be in the house with 27 cats. So it's just like, why can't we just win? Why can't we be independent and have a man at the same time? Like, can we have the best of both worlds?
Right. The one thing I will say about that is don't compare yourself to white women, because it's so many different dynamics
that's a good point
at play as far as the history between black women and black men versus the history between white women and white men. And I don't know, they say white women always go where the coins are, and white women know how to find the money, which I think is true, because they marry men that will make them get
maybe
them
in those social circles
so that they can not have to work and they can focus on their children. In a lot of cases, a lot of white women work too, but I just think that with white privilege and the fact that they're so much more, they're so further ahead of us as far as generational wealth and all those types of things, it's a lot easier for them to just find a husband, or for men to just say, okay, yeah, let's get married. Whereas black women and black men, we're almost in the same financial boat where we're both first-generation college grads. You know what I mean? Neither one of us are trust fund babies. Neither one of us have parents that have worked at, you know, Rothschild or some fancy law company for the last 50 years in our generation. You know what I mean?
And so when we do have those families, it's because they started that way.
Right.
Like, they always had that generational wealth. They didn't just come up and be like that.
Yeah, so it's very different. But I don't compare yourself to anybody, but definitely don't compare yourself to somebody that has not had the plight or the struggle that we've had, because it'll make you depressed every time. Not depressed, but it'll just make us look
on
the back end.
No, it will make you depressed.
Yeah, it'll make you depressed.
That's real.
But so I know we're getting the time. I do want to ask, like, make one or two more points to ask the question, because with the Hazel E thing, it was interesting. She, like, Iyanla talked to her mom first and asked, you know, why, what happened to your daughter in her childhood? And the mom failed to mention that Hazel was molested as a child and that she had a boyfriend that beat her. But when she came out, she said it. And so we don't have to get too personal, but I just want to make a point that as a mom, it's your job to protect your children, especially your daughters. I mean, your sons too. Don't let nobody do nothing to either one of your kids.
I'm going to jail.
It's definitely your job to protect your seed. If we want to stop sending broken people and broken adults out into this world, it is on us to make sure they're taken care of at home, make sure they're heard, they're protected, they're loved. You know what I mean?
And provide them with an environment.
Yes.
You said what?
I said provide them with an environment to feel comfortable to be able to come to you.
Yes. And so, like I said, I don't like being too preachy. I like to keep it fun. But raising kids is not a joke. It's not for play. It's not just matching outfits. It's not just, you know, getting money from the other co-parents to go do this and that. Like, you're building a person.
Yes.
You're creating a personality. You're creating a human that's going to be in the world one day.
Building other people.
Right, exactly. So, now that I'm stepping out of my soapbox.
Oh, sorry. I was going to add to that soapbox. As a person working in mental health, especially for our black children, please stop this what happens in our house stays in our house, because that's how y'all destroying y'all kids.
And that's the generational thing.
Yes. Too. Y'all need to stop that. That y'all, you wonder why your child got all this anxiety and trauma about Uncle So-and-so and didn't tell you what happened with Uncle So-and-so 10 years ago. It's because that what happens in this house stays in this house bullcrap. Stop it. It's destroying our kids.
Right. And then when they can't get it out and can't process that anxiety and grief and everything, that makes them more likely to do that to some other child down the road. Let's just cut the cycle. Cut the crap. Cut the cycle.
Please, let's break these cycles and these generational curses.
But,
please.
So, as they were coming to, like, the end of the episode, before they got their conclusion, Iyanla had Hazel E. read some of her lyrics to pictures of, like, Rosa Parks, Cicely Tyson, and some of the other founding black mothers of, like, entertainment and just in general. And so, you know, pop my butt, pop my pussy. She's, like, reading it off to the cars. And so my thing is, what do y'all think black women in generations before us would think about us? in the now.
A plethora of things, just depending on who the woman is.
Yeah, and do you think it's a fair view? Like, should we be happy that we're more free now? Should we, you know what I mean? Do we need to feel bad?
I like the fact that we can be more free now. Because I feel like for so long we were confined to being perfect little wife, tends to the home and the children, tends to her man, doesn't say a word. And no, we have to say we are our own person. And I like the fact that we as women can celebrate being who we are as women, whether you're independent with this career and entrepreneur, or, you know, being, you know, sexually free and open-minded, you know, and still being able to come home and take care of your kids.
Dropped the ball somewhere.
Some instances, we probably have.
I think they would like the freedom that we have and all the choices that we have. I think they would like the ambition that we have, that we're not just taking anything from men anymore.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Nice for what?
Yeah. But I think they would be very disappointed at just how we don't root for each other. We don't fight for each other. We don't encourage each other. We don't support each other. That's where the ball has been dropped, for real. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty ridiculous. Just like the Nicki and Cardi thing. Why can't both of them win?
True.
Like, true. That's just ridiculous. Like, Hazel Lee calling somebody a black...
Which did come out, though, with the people that molested her were two dark-skinned females when she was 5 years old. They were her babysitters. So,
they were dark-skinned females that did that?
Yeah. So that was kind of like where that came... Well, I can't say it's where it came from, but that was like a piece to the puzzle.
Yeah.
So it got deep. It got deep, but I agree, though. I think they would be disappointed in how we don't root for each other and how we talk down on each other. I think they may be disappointed in our lack of... How do I say this? Which is, it's turning around now. People are starting to be more like black culture oriented. But our lack of care and appreciation, I guess, for
our history
and our culture. Mm-hmm. Because in some of the things we do, like, rap culture is so violent. Or, you know what I mean? Some things that I feel like they would look at and be like, you know what? We did not march on picket lines.
We did not get hosed for this.
For y'all to be popping that pussy on a headstand type deal, you know?
Sorry, Kari.
Right. You all right, girl?
And...
So that's my spiel.
I was listening to Rolly Rolly, and he said, I want a bad bitch that look like Kim K. Of all the black women in the world.
Right, you want a bad bitch that look like Kim K.
That bought every part of her body.
This too.
But I just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. It's rough being a black woman, but it's okay. We're going to raise some strong ones. But on that note, we are going to get out of here. Peanut, we're gonna say bye. Thank you all for listening to Ladies Night Podcast. As always, you guys can follow us on Instagram at Ladies Night Podcast, like our Facebook at Ladies Night Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Ladies Night PC, and you can send us those emails to ladiesnightformoms@gmail.com. We are gonna go ahead and get out of here.
We have an encouraging word though before we leave. I have it this week. Celebrating another woman's triumphs or success will never take away from your shine or glory. If anything, it'll add to it and create more light. From Alex L.
Can you read that one more time? Yes. You always ask you to read it twice.
Yes, for the folks in the back.
So it can really stick. We always need the ending words twice.
Celebrating another woman's triumphs or success will never take away from your shine or glory. If anything, it'll add to it and create more light. I like that quote because it's actually similar to a quote I have on my background. You're going to get to a flower does not think to compete with the flower next to it. It just blooms.
This is true.
So don't, you know, root for other people and still work on you, girl. It's all right. Okay.
We can all win together. It's enough money out there for all of us.
You just got to go get it.
Right?
Go get it.
Calm down on the next bitch and don't get it.
Go get your blessing.
Okay, all right, y'all. So thanks for listening to in and be on the lookout for these videos. Have a good day, night, or evening, and thank you for grabbing a glass and joining us for Ladies Night.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, everybody.
Okay.